As we begin, let's pray. As we gather around the written word and listen to the spoken word, may we meet with the living word, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. So, as I was thinking about this morning's theme and these ideas of laziness and diligence that we're exploring today, I was aware of this real tension that we have to keep hold of as we're talking about them. You see, on the one hand, we've got lots of warnings in the Bible about the dangers of laziness and not making the best of what we've been entrusted with. And on the other hand, we're also told that rest is really important, and this theme of the gift of Sabbath rest that is given to creation and to people runs all the way through from right to the beginning of the Bible all the way to the end. And then when we look at the flip side, at diligence and perseverance, there are lots of encouragements to us to keep going and to work hard at growing in our faith and discipleship. But we're also warned that we can't work our way into God's good books, that the relationship that we have with God is a free gift given to us in grace in Jesus. So, in summary, rest but don't be lazy, and work but don't rely on your own strength. As I was reflecting on all this, my mind was drawn to one of my favourite books, which is called The Pilgrim's Progress. And I think there are some brilliant ways in that book, some brilliant things in that book, which can help us to think about these things. The book was written about 400 years ago by a guy called John Bunyan, and it describes a journey. And in the first part of the book, the journey is made by a Christian. And in the second part of the book, the same journey is made by his wife, Christiana, and their children. And the journey is one full of adventures and joys and sorrows. And it takes them through different parts of the country, through the famous Slough of Despond, where Christian almost gives up, through the narrow gate, via the cross of Calvary, where Christian's burdens of sin and shame are cut away and roll off down the hill, and he can continue on his journey unencumbered. Then he goes over the hill of difficulty and down the valley of the shadow of death into the dangerous town of Vanity Fair, and then on to his destination. Along the way, different travelling companions appear. Some are like Evangelist, Great Heart and Hopeful, and they're encouraging and helpful to the heroes in their journeys. But some are like Sloth and Mr. Worldly Wiseman and Talkative, are troublesome and try and persuade the travellers to leave the path that they're walking. As well as these other people on the road that they come across, there are also fearsome monsters. There's Apollyon, the great destroyer of souls, who attacks Christian and almost defeats him until Christian thrusts him through with his sword, crying, "In all things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us." And the giant Despair, who lures Christian and Hopeful into imprisonment in Doubting Castle, until Christian remembers the key of promise that he's been given that will release him and Hope from captivity. So, what is this journey that is so important to them? Where have they come from? Where are they going that keeps them motivated to keep travelling, to keep going through all these difficult places and in the face of all this opposition? It is the journey from the city of destruction where they used to live to the celestial city, where they will live safely with the King of Heaven forever. And this journey is the journey of their lives. And throughout this journey, we find Christian and Christiana being offered opportunities to rest and to restore themselves for the next stage of the journey. Now, fairly on in his travels, Christian is faced by the hill difficulty. At the bottom of the hill, he had a choice. There were paths that went off around the hill, but the narrow path, his path, goes up and over it. Bunyan writes this: "He fell from running to going, and from going to clambering upon his hands and his knees because of the steepness of the place. Now, about the midway to the top of the hill was a pleasant arbour made by the Lord of the Hill for the refreshing of weary travellers. Thither, therefore, Christian got, where also he sat down to rest him. And that's all fine. But then Christian fell asleep, and he slumbered long and deep until night came, and he awoke with a start and hurried on up the hill in the dark. Unfortunately, in his haste, he dropped a parchment he'd been given earlier in his journey, which is his passport into the celestial city. And he had to retrace his steps all the way back down the hill and fetch and then climb all the way back up that hill again. In the second part of the book, we see Christiana and her party, including a friend called Mercy, arrive at the same place. And Mercy says, "How sweet is rest to them that labour, and how good is the Prince of Pilgrims to provide such resting places for them. Of this arbour I have heard much, but I never saw it before. But here let us beware of sleeping, for as I have heard, for that it cost poor Christian dear." Without wanting to labour the point too much, the place of rest had been provided for them by God. But Christian lingered there too long, and in the end, it caused him even more weariness. At other points, the travellers find other places to rest and recuperate, the house beautiful and the delectable mountains among them. And each of these places, they tell the story of their journey so far. They recover from their wounds, they receive encouragements, warnings, and equipment for the next stage of their journey. We're going to leave the pilgrims on their progress here. If you've never read the book, it's still available in audiobook as well as print form. It's well worth the time. I'd really encourage you to read it. And there's a kind of a modern kind of retelling or different story, but based on the same kind of ideas by a guy called Ishmael. And the books are called, there's three of them. It's a series called Children of the Voice. And it's particularly accessible for youngsters. So I'm going to put the URL of where you can get hold of it on the video when I put it all together. So you should be able to see that now. And I'll put it in get someone to put it in the comment stream as well. So if you're interested in that, go and have a look at those. Read them with your youngsters. Anyway, to bring this illustration of journey all the way up to date, it's the time of year for journeys. Lots of us have been driving to go on holiday or to see family and friends around the country. I wonder what kind of traveller you are. In your ideal world, if it were only up to you, how often would you take a break on your journey? Are you a straight through, no stops kind of person? Or are you a stop every hour for a tea and a loo break, perhaps a longer lunch break for a picnic at a National Trust property? For you, is the journey part of the holiday or the thing that has to be got through so that you can get to your holiday as soon as possible? One way gets you there quicker, as long as you don't fall asleep at the wheel. The other gets you there more relaxed, perhaps, if you ever get there at all. I wonder where you are in the journey of your life. How is the balance between rest and work? Physically, mentally, spiritually. Do you feel like you've got stuck, fallen asleep, and are struggling to get going? Ask the Holy Spirit to fill you again and get you moving. Are you weary and struggling on? God provides places to rest. Ask God to show you one. Rest, but don't be lazy. Work, but don't rely on your own strength. Amen.